Right, folks, thank you so much. There's a whole lot of questions there, David, which is good news. And so we'll tackle this one at a time. But before I tackle questions from Graham and Ioana Stefana Wojcik, is that right? She has a historical question. We've got questions from Jane and Michael, Ernie and Michael Young as well. So, David, my first question to you, let's face it, Ezekiel is weird. He lay on one side for 6 months and then on another for a few days, eating food cooked on poop, beer
No, he
choking
wasn't
water.
eating food. He was eating food he cooked over
That's right,
it.
eating food cooked on poop. That's right. Doesn't make it any less weird. Beard chopping. Why did you tackle Ezekiel? I can see that actually you've been so passionately kind of teaching this. Why did you choose Ezekiel?
Probably because we hadn't done it and someone was going to have to sooner or later, so I thought I
Sure.
might. Well, but also because I really felt that Ezekiel is quite potent for the times we're living in at the moment. We're living in really, really uncertain times. It's nowhere near as bad for us as it was for the people of Israel.
Sure.
But it's still a season we're not used to. We are living in a season of lament. Many people have lost their loved ones.
Yeah.
Lots of people, the Archbishop put this really well. If you despair, you give up.
Yeah.
If you escape, you just try to pretend it's not happening. If
Sure.
you have hope, you believe there is a future after this. That's the only way you keep yourself going. And essentially, that is what Ezekiel is teaching us. However despairing it gets,
That's right.
there's always hope, but you have to
I can
walk
see the
forward.
relevance, David. I think Michael Young's question to you is, do you think Ezekiel would have been thought insane in today's society? How would you respond to that question?
I don't think Ezekiel would have a saying. You've got to be really careful about trying to prophesy judgment on people when you haven't actually been told that by God. Ezekiel was told it. We haven't been. And I'm very skeptical about people who try to make it like that. But I do think the important thing is this is a time to have a good hard look at how you're behaving. Why you're behaving that way and what really is important to you.
That's very helpful. And your friend, David, Ioana Stefana, I presume you knew this person from Belgium, is that right?
Oh yes. Hi,
She
Joanna.
asks a historical question. Welcome, Ioana. You're very welcome to Gillingham this evening. Her question is a historical question, David, and the question is, why do you think Israel shall not sign an agreement with Egypt or for one of the other major powers at the time that you referred to?
Where they should have or why they did.
Why do you think Israel shall not sign an agreement with Egypt?
Well, it's dead simple, really. If you're signing an agreement with Egypt, what you're saying is, oh, I don't need God. I can ask Egypt to look after me. They're powerful, they're strong, they're mighty, they'll do it. If you read the Book of Kings and the books of Chronicles and the prophets, they're always telling the kings off for putting their faith in other people who aren't God. And that usually meant nations. In fact, you get a the first messianic prophecy, the best known one, the virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son, all happened because silly old King Asa had signed an agreement with the Assyrians, even though Isaiah had told him not to.
Okay, David, I want to take three different questions, three specific ones to particular passages in the book of Ezekiel. The
Okay.
first is from Graham Wilkins, the second is from Ernie Mann, and the third is from Michael McLaughlin. Graham's question is when it's a specific question to do with street performances. When Ezekiel does his street performances, where would they have taken place? And how would people see them do these things? And how do they find out why they are doing them? Do you have, in your study, have you kind of come across those specific questions?
That's a very good question. I'd be interested in your input in this as well, actually, Sergio. It doesn't actually say, so we have to guess. My feeling is it could well have been in the refugee camp, assuming that's where he was, where he actually does it. All we know is he's somewhere by the Khyber River, which is some Kebar River, which is somewhere in Babylon or in that area. probably somewhere where the Jews are being made to work. So maybe he, Israelites were being made to work. So maybe he actually did it right outside their camp.
Yeah.
And so they asked him what he was doing. Maybe he did it right in front of the city of Babylon. We're not sure.
Yeah.
How the people asked him what he was doing and what he said, that's not really recorded, because I think the point is, this is his message. This is what he's doing and why he's doing it. Not what did the people say? Did they laugh at him? Did they think he was an idiot? Did they think he was weird? We all want to know those answers, but they're not given to us because that's not the point of the story.
Sure, sure. But nevertheless, we have to acknowledge in that street plays, we do see Ezekiel as a fascinating storyteller. He's got some catchy stories, as it were. You can't just ignore those stories. And yet other times he is like a lawyer arguing a case on behalf of the God in the verse of God. So there's a whole lot of things there, but yet nevertheless, it seems to, just to add to what you're saying there, David, that sense of the question of hard-heartedness and the heart of flesh and the where the place of exile is, and the, rightly you picked up the important themes of remnant and temple and judgment. In all those things, there is an element whereby he is being theatrical in his kind of telling of the great story. Next question is from Michael McLaughlin. How can Ezekiel teach us to discern who the true watchmen are and who the false prophets are?
Yeah, you've got to be really, really careful with this one. I have found that the people who I have found more godly acted like godly people when they gave this kind of message. There are some people who just seem to really enjoy having this kind of message. It's almost as though they really want to vindicate their own ministry, their own thoughts, their own position. You know, I had one person who insisted that she had received the pain of God for the lost, and then says with a completely straight face and with an angry expression that George Soros is going to hell. And I was thinking, you know, if God had really showed you that pain, I think you'd be on your knees weeping because it would be so terrible. Mm-hmm. And you're not. You're just telling me he's going to hell if he doesn't change. That's the kind of discernment I would look out for. As I said, if it's an angry kind of ministry, it probably didn't come from God. I mean, God doesn't enjoy this. People do often misunderstand this with Ezekiel. Although God is appearing in judgment, he is saying all the way through, why are you being so stubborn? Why are you being so stiff-necked? How can you hurt me like this? How can you make me do this to you? Because I don't enjoy it.
And judgment, of course, is for Israel, for the nations, and then the whole of creation. And let's not forget that juxtaposed with that is the fact that actually hope is for Israel, for the nations, and for the whole of creation as well. Yeah. Another specific question, David, that comes is in the most familiar of all the chapters in the book of Ezekiel. This question comes from Ernie Mann. And the question is the dry bones passage a sign of the second coming of Christ?
Difficult question. I mean, that there's a huge debate about this one. Some people say it's Jerusalem as it was restored after the exile. Yeah. Some say it's the second coming. Some people say no, it's not Jerusalem at all, because it doesn't call it Jerusalem. It calls it Adonai is there. I think it's as close to the second coming as Israel at the time would have understood it, because you can't really tell the exiles the story of Jesus. I know you would like to, but you just can't. So they can't cope with this idea of a dying Messiah yet. They're not ready for it. So what they get is the Prince of Judah, living in Jerusalem. They can't cope with the concept of you not needing the covenantal system, so it's restored for them. That makes sense. God always speaks to the culture people would understand. That's why he shows Ezekiel the cherubim. They would have seen those things in Babylon and gone, oh, so you mean God's more powerful than those things in the temples? Yes.
David, I just want to kind of pick up a few comments from the comment section. Donna says, very encouraging, David. And we have Trevor who says, so relevant for today. I'd like to pick up on relevance question a little later. Pauline Jackson says, thank you so much, David. And there are others who are appreciating your teaching this evening, David. So I just want you to know. Also, Lisa Heistet says, no questions, but she feels very enlightened by what you have taught.
I would just add, do keep reading Ezekiel yourselves. Don't assume that just because I've told you the themes in there, I actually had to miss out on an awful lot of stuff. I really wanted to do the heart of stone, heart of flesh, but didn't get round to it.
Sure.
I really wanted to do some of the things that were going on in Jerusalem, didn't get round to that either. Do keep reading, do keep finding things, do come back to me and say, David, what about this? Or, no, David, I don't think it means that. I think it means that.
That's
what this is for.
Yeah, absolutely. I take great encouragement in the church in Berea, which wrestle with the text. And that is the heart of a Bible stream. You know, if this does not almost kind of challenge us to go and read the text for ourselves, I think we're kind of not achieving the goal, as it were. Lots of other things agreeing with you, David. May I pick up Jane's question? Why did Ezekiel have to do difficult things? Yes, I can clearly see what she means. He is unique, isn't he? He is different. But why did he have to do that in ways perhaps other exilic prophets didn't have to behave in the particular ways and do difficult things?
I'm not sure. I can give a really good answer to that. The only one I can think of is, this is unlike every other prophet, because Ezekiel is actually in between the two exiles. This is where I think people don't always, it's complicated because the history is a bit complicated. It's not straightforward if you're just reading the Bible. You can be a bit confused. I think this was so urgent. God was making it clear to the people they had to get this message. Jerusalem was cut off because of the way they behaved. And that is such an impossible thing to get them to understand. It's like me walking into the tomb of Muhammad in Mecca, for want of something better, and shouting at the top of my voice that Allah was going to destroy this entire place because he was angry with Muhammad. If I tried doing that, I'd probably get myself killed. But that is an example. It's not a good one, but it's an example of just how unthinkable what Ezekiel was saying would have been to his listeners, and why he had to do things like that to make it clear this wasn't some kind of joke.
I think David, what you have given us, and I really hope many of us can go and dig deep into the book of Ezekiel, you know, try to understand the new temple and hope and the understanding of God's judgment juxtaposed with that, and the old temple, the remnant, the idea of exile. Can I just pick up this as a last question, which is to do with Trevor's point of relevance for today? It's always a fascinating thing interpreting scriptures, isn't it? In the sense that you're always trying to read scriptures in one hand and the newspaper in the other hand, as John Stott would encourage us. Tell me your view on the relevance of the book of Ezekiel to some of the things that are going on in our world today. I'm particularly thinking of the lockdown world that we find ourselves in, and what might God's word be through the book of Ezekiel, through the word of Ezekiel for our times. In other words, my question is to do with relevance. My question is to do with how what might God be saying to us through the book of Ezekiel in your study?
I think the most important thing is that God really is sovereign over everything which is going on. And this is something which I think he deliberately chose to appear to Ezekiel in the way he chose to appear to him, to show that he was the king and not somebody else.
Yeah.
He had defeated all these gods. He was running what was going on. Mm. These things weren't just happening at random. They're not just things that happen. If you'll forgive my language, very often when something like COVID happens, the response you get from people is, oh, well, you know, shit happens. That's just the way it is.
What's your language?
Do about it. But the fact is, right through the book of Ezekiel, it's quite clear that God is actually sovereign over everything. Mm. The nations only rule as long as he lets them. Babylon's only punished as long as he lets them. The people are only persecuted and killed to the number he has decided. Mm. You want to be careful with predestination there, but I'd say the most important thing is that God is sovereign and everything that happens is something he knows about and is aware of and has some control over. How that is played out is different.
That is most certainly a word from Ezekiel, very particularly to do with the sovereignty of God, we can hold on to in the bad times, in the difficult times. And like you say, God is a miracle worker. God knows our pain.
Yeah.
And God is a God who is not to be messed with. That is something that actually we truly can hold on to. And that takes us to a place of worship. It's just past 8:30, David. So what I'm going to do is to read a little passage and perhaps for us to close our time together in a word of prayer. And so I'm going to read one of the other familiar passages from Ezekiel chapter 36, God sprinkling clean water. So receive this word this evening, my dear brothers and sisters. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in the statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Let's pray. Merciful Father, thank you for your beautiful word and what it teaches us. And we thank you so much that we can listen to your word, read your word, mark your word, learn and inwardly digest your word. And we pray that the patience and comfort of wrestling with texts like Ezekiel will bring life into our souls, our communities. And we commit our world to you, our world that is in so much pain, our world that is in so much turmoil, our world that is in desperate need of a savior. And so, Father, we pray and we lament this evening. We cry out to you, O God, to come and intervene in our world this day. Thank you for the hope that you have set in our hearts, so clearly prophesied in the book of Ezekiel. We pray that you will please come and make your home in us as we set out hope in our community in Gillingham and in the communities that we are part of, represented online this evening. We bless you and we glorify you. And we thank you for Prophet Ezekiel. And thank you, Lord, for David. Thank you for teaching him and teaching us through him this evening. We love you and we want to follow you. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Before people completely log off, Dad,
yes,
can you tell us about Bible Stream next week? Next month, I should say.
Ah, okay. I'll appear here. Next month, I'll be covering 1 and 2 Thessalonians. A few challenges there with the eschatological side of things. End times theology, but we'll see what we can do with that. And Bernie will be overseeing and looking at the comments, hopefully, if we can sort the technology between us all. Thank you.
Something for us to look forward to. Thank you, Graham. Thank you, David. Good night, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. It was such a blessing. Good night. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right, Sidgy has logged off.
Oh, thank goodness for that.